for I'll Fly Away. That was really good. You all did great. Thank you very much. The scripture from Matthew 14 today speaks very clearly that if we keep our focus on Jesus, it will build trust in him as he is the one who is indeed our Savior and our Lord. It was a year ago this time that Wander and I felt very strongly from the Lord that we were to move to Florida. But then there came that point where I had to tell the senior pastor of the church I was in that we were leaving. And of course, what he did is he took me out. We walked around the field for 5 or 6 minutes. And then he finally said, "What day are you going?" And so I told him we hadn't really decided that yet, but told him why we were going and so forth and so on. And then as the days went on and people found out, they kept coming up to us and say, "You can't leave. There's so many reasons not to leave. You just got going here, even though it's been 11 years. And, you know, there's just so much left to do. And you're going to Florida. Why go there? It's hot and muggy and all that kind of stuff." And then finally it came the day when we did have the farewell party at which the staff and one of our older folks attended. And the man by the name of Don who led that party, that farewell, Don, gave a speech. And he got up. And of course, this is supposed to be your typical roast or, you know, how sorry we are to see you to leave. But he proceeded to list 100 reasons not to go to Florida. And he started off like this: "Why are you going to Florida? You'll get eaten by alligators. Mosquitoes are big enough to put a saddle on. Torrential rains. Hurricanes. Why do you want to go to Florida?" And of course, and he's going on and on and on. And we're supposed to be laughing, and people are like, "Why are they going to Florida?" And then also, I really got a big boost from my senior pastor who said to me, "Well, Tom, we really like you, but you can go and Wanda can stay." So, but he was kidding, I think. But it was just, we understood why the people were saying that and so forth, because, you know, we'd really grown accustomed to them and they to us, obviously. But recently, I came across this article just this week from the Center for Disease Control that talked about the things that are most likely to kill you. And they made a list of a few things. And one of the things they did say on top of the list, only one person per year will die by an alligator. And only one person by day per year will die by a lizard. But get this, 20 people per year will be killed by a cow. I'm serious, that's what they said. So what I'd like to say back to Don is California is, you're more likely to die in Vermont than you are Florida. But the truth is that even though all this was going on, Wander and I trusted the Lord, were focused on him, and knew that this is what we were supposed to do. And the Lord has certainly given to us, all of you, and a great opportunity, and we are just thrilled to be here. We know that keeping our focus in spite of everything else that may be going around us to distract us, even as the people were willing to take up an offering to bring my mother there instead of us coming here, that when you keep your focus on Jesus Christ, it will build that trust where you will be convinced that he is always with you no matter what is going on in your life. It's very true what that song says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." This is indeed a great hymn which speaks of Jesus as the one we must place all our trust, all our focus, in whatever circumstances, because he is God and he is completely trustworthy. But that when the storms of life come and we take our focus off of Christ and we start to believe the noise of the world and listen to the different philosophies that try to convince us of what's right and wrong, we often find ourselves in trouble. Arnold Palmer learned this lesson well about keeping focus. Arnold Palmer was recalling a lesson about this when he was talking about the final hole of the 1961 Masters Tournament. And he says, I had a one-stroke lead and had just hit a very satisfying tee shot. I felt I was in pretty good shape. As I approached my ball, I saw an old friend standing at the edge of the gallery. He motioned over to him, stuck out his hand and said, congratulations. I took his hand and shook it, but as soon as I did, I knew I had lost my focus. On my next two shots, I hit the ball into a sand trap, then put it over the edge of the green, and I missed the putt and lost the Masters. You don't forget a mistake like that. You just learn from it and become determined that you will never do that again. And I haven't in the 30 years that he was playing golf since. Losing focus in the midst of a crisis happens to us all, does it not? When we get stressed or worried, we tend to look inward and say, how can I fix this? How can I make this right? When actually what we need to do is turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to understand and give me some clarity and give me some focus. That's exactly what this story is about with Peter and Jesus in Matthew 14. Before the scripture that was read in the story, Jesus had fed the 5,000. And after that, he told the disciples, get in the boat, go over the other side, I will meet you there. They left. Jesus went up to the mountain and prayed. As they were a long distance in the lake, they were in the middle of the lake from the shore, the wind grew fierce and the waves battered the boat. They were in trouble. After a period of time, Jesus came walking to them on the water. The disciples cried out in fear and said, it's a ghost. But Jesus, who was not deterred by the wind and the waves, said to them, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Is that not a word we all need to hear today? Take heart, it is Jesus, do not fear. Peter then said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now we know that Peter was rather an impetuous kind of guy. He would say what I would call full of himself a few times. So Jesus said, come. Peter started to walk, but then he noticed the wind and the angry waves, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. It was at this point that Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him and pulled him into the boat. And he did save him. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. This is what Jesus says to all of us this day through this scripture. We know that these fierce storms will come. Fear, doubt, loss of a loved one, an illness. So many things that can happen to us. We all know that. We all know, especially as we grow older, that we're not bulletproof. And we know the body starts to break down, and there are times we wonder, oh Lord, how long must this go on? But we can trust that through this, that the Lord is saying to us, take heart, I am with you. Do not be afraid. Martin Luther, the great pastor of the Reformation, talks about what happened to him 10 years after he nailed the 95 Theses on the doors of the Wittenberg Church. He was forced to stop preaching because of his health. At that time, the Great Plague was taking place in Europe. Many people were dying. He turned his own home into a hospital for anyone who would need it. And he saw many of the people and friends that he knew die because of the plague. His entire body was in pain. He felt completely abandoned by the Lord. He labored under all this, desperation before God. But through the prayers of his friends and his faith in God, the Lord had mercy on him and pulled his soul from that darkness. And after that, the plague abated. People started to get well. His son recovered. And he remembered back to what the Lord had called him to do, was to preach the truth that through Christ, in him alone, are we saved. And it was through that experience that he wrote that great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And I don't know if any of you have been to Wittenberg, Germany, but at the church there is a tower, a cylindrical tower. And on top of the tower is written around the words, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, in German. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Aren't those great words? Focusing and trusting in Jesus, and he will indeed save us from fear. And even when that time comes that we are soon to meet him, we will welcome his presence at our bedside, and we will rejoice when we're with him for eternity. And as Peter learned, he knew that he needed to keep his eyes on Christ and not turn away and be so overwhelmed by the storms and the waves in life. Focus right away on Jesus when those times come. Build your life on him and know that he is your rock and your foundation. He really is the only true rock and foundation we have in this world. 11 miles off the east coast of Scotland in North Sea stands the Bell Rock Lighthouse. It was built from 1807 to 1811 on a semi-submerged reef 11 and a half miles off the east coast of Scotland. It has endured the ferocious onslaught of the North Sea's violent storms since it was built. It rests upon less than 1 acre of solid rock. The small reef is covered by seawater for 20 hours every day. The builder of the lighthouse, Robert Stevenson, and his band of 65 skilled artisans had only 4 hours each day to chink away at the stone and gouge a foundation in the rock. And since that time, the lighthouse has been battered by many storms. It had an armored cruiser during World War I run into it. It was strafed and bombed during the World War II, and a helicopter crashed into it not too many years ago. But as a result of this painstakingly patient work of building on a solid foundation, the Bell Rock Lighthouse, 115 feet tall, still stands today. Building our lives on the solid rock of Jesus, it will never fail. He will never fail. Jesus understood that. I mean, as he pulled Peter into the boat, and then Peter understood that. That he knew that if he just reached out, kept his focus, and just trusted Jesus, that he would be okay and he would be saved. And he understood that that day. And thirdly, one of the best ways to overcome fear in the storms of life is to worship the Lord and sing your praises. You notice in the story, it says when he got in to the boat, the disciples then gave worship unto the Lord. The disciples worshiped and stated, "You are certainly God's Son." A life built on Jesus is a life built on the solid rock of Christ. As we sang the refrain, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand." Worshiping the Lord and singing the great hymns of the faith as we did today just really lifts our soul and gives us that time to understand that even though all this stuff happens in this life, doesn't carry the same weight as when we sing praises unto God, know his presence, and know that he is bigger than any of this. And he can overcome any of it. There is nothing that can happen to us that God cannot overcome through Jesus Christ. Let me end with this story. Back during the time of Napoleon's invasion of Eastern Europe, the citizens of Feldkirch, Austria, were threatened by his army. And they didn't know what to do. Soldiers had been spotted on the heights above the little town, which was situated right on the Austrian border. A council of citizens was hastily summoned to decide whether they should try to defend themselves or display the white flag of surrender. It happened to be Easter Sunday, and then the people had gathered in their local church. And the pastor, thinking about, "Okay, Lord, what do I do?" rose and said, "Friends, we have been counting on our own strength, and apparently that has failed. As this is the day of the Lord's resurrection, let us just ring the bells, have our services as usual, and leave the matter in his hands. We only know our weakness and not the power of God to defend us." The council accepted his plan, the people met for worship, and the church bells rang. The opposing army, the enemy, hearing the sudden sound, concluded that the Austrian army had arrived during the night to defend the town. And before the service ended, Napoleon's army broke camp and left. Napoleon's army broke camp and left. Though the devil try all his schemes to defeat us, with a solid rock in Christ, he is defeated. Amen? Let us pray. Lord God, thank you. You are so good to us. And though we know our humanity, we know our failings, we know our strengths, we know our weaknesses, but we know that you are much stronger than all of that. And it's to you we place our lives, our focus, as our rock and our foundation. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number 30.